You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. Here is Sam Smith's report on the Korean Peninsula.
Tension is building on the Korean Peninsula as the growing standoff between the United States and North Korea gathers steam. Pyongyang has continued to carry out missile and nuclear tests in defiance of UN sanctions and has been working to develop a nuclear-topped missile that could potentially strike the US mainland. This has attracted the wrath of Donald Trump, who accused the North of looking for trouble, while Vice President Mike Pence issued a warning to the regime in North Korea, saying they would do well not to test the resolve or strength of the US armed forces in the region. In response, senior North Korean officials warned the situation on the Korean Peninsula is nearing the brink of war. Kim Song-gyong, a director general inside the regime, said that if Washington made the slightest movement to make a nuclear strike on North Korea, Pyongyang would strike first and destroy the aggressors without any mercy. So given the strong rhetoric from both sides and the personalities of the two leaders, are we heading for war in East Asia? Well, I spoke to Otago University International Relations Professor Robert Patman to get his views on the situation. I guess, firstly, how close do you think we are to there being some form of conflict between the United States and North Korea?
I think we're potentially very close. But I think both China and the United States at the moment, there seems to be a consensus between the United States and China, and for that matter, for South Korea and also Japan, two interested parties, that the diplomatic route must be tried first. And there's been some interesting new developments in the last few days, which I think gives more legs or more prospects to a diplomatic resolution of this problem. China has taken a number of steps. Firstly, it's applied concerted economic pressure on North Korea, the like of which has never happened before. North Korea depends, about 80% of its trade is with China. And China has started turning away one of North Korea's major exports to that country, which is coal. The second thing, which is significant, is that China Airlines has cancelled all direct flights between Beijing and Pyongyang. Third thing, which is significant, is that China has moved more than 100,000 troops, according to one report, 150,000, right up to the North Korean border, which seems to be a measure which may be anticipating an upheaval in Pyongyang and guarding against the prospect of people flooding across from North Korea into China.
So do you think the regime in North Korea could be about to collapse?
I've always felt with authoritarian regimes where they can monopolize the media, you never really know how strong or how weak they are. One of the problems that Kim Jong-un faces is that part of his legitimacy depends on having a confrontation with the outside world, particularly the United States and South Korea. If China is really saying to the leadership in Pyongyang, you must resolve this issue on a non-nuclear basis, which the Chinese are saying. The Chinese have the same view as the Americans in the desired outcome. And they have the ability to effectively turn off the life support system. Then that places the regime in Pyongyang in a very difficult position. It can go down the diplomatic route and get short-term survival. But I think the question of its political legitimacy would be gravely undermined if it declared it would never surrender. Then in fact it seems to be working as it sees it with the enemy. So I think, you know, authoritarian regimes, when they're in trouble, you don't know in advance, and things could change rapidly. We just don't know at this stage, and we don't. And the other thing we have to guard against here, Sam, is that the measures China have taken won't bite immediately. They certainly will have a profound impact in the not-too-distant future, but authoritarian regimes like the one led by Kim Jong-un don't seem to share too much concern about the welfare of their people in the big picture of things. He's more concerned about personal survival as leader of North Korea.
Now, why is it that they're so keen on developing intercontinental ballistic missiles and conducting nuclear tests?
Well, I think for a dictator like Kim Jong-un, and that's what he is, and this is a person who's murdered his members of his own family because he believed they were threats to him, the lesson that he's taken both from Iraq in 2003 and more recently from Libya is that if the United States is in a relationship of conflict with a country, it will think twice if that country possesses a credible nuclear deterrent. And from Kim Jong-un's point of view, having the ability to hit the United States with an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear tip, from his point of view, would mean that America would not take steps to bring about regime change because it would increase the costs of that action for the United States. And Kim Jong-un believes that Gaddafi, it was no mistake that Gaddafi was overthrown within years of forswearing the nuclear option in Libya, and also Saddam Hussein in Iraq in 2003 effectively stopped, as we now know, investing in weapons of mass destruction sometime in the 90s when the sanctions regime really began to bite into his regime. So yeah, for Kim Jong-un, that's, I think, the key reason why he wants an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear capability, because he believes that would deter the United States from undermining and subverting his regime.
Do you think they have the capabilities for such a missile to be successful?
It's very difficult to say. There is often a discrepancy between the claims made by the regime in Pyongyang and the reality. At this point in time, I think they're a little bit short of that capability. And what alarms both China and the United States, and indeed South Korea, is the utter determination of the regime in Pyongyang to develop that nuclear, that intercontinental ballistic missile capability. And they may already have it, but they certainly don't have it in a reliable or sufficient form to be a major threat to the United States. When U.S. decision makers have been asked whether North Korea now possesses that capability, many of them, such as H.R. McMaster, were reluctant to be specific, but hinted they didn't think so at this stage.
Now, in the West, there is this tendency by many to simply laugh at North Korea and their leader. How serious should we be taking the situation?
It's a very serious situation. I don't think he's got any... I think this dictatorship in Pyongyang has been, by making threats and acting out, as the Americans call it, has been able over the years to extract diplomatic compromises and a focus on negotiations. He's been treated almost like he and his predecessor, his father, were treated almost like naughty children who over time might become more reasonable. But it's quite clear that this regime in Pyongyang interprets diplomacy as weakness. And that's why he behaves domestically. And there's always a connection between the way you behave domestically and the way you act externally. He certainly doesn't brook any opposition to himself domestically. And he's looking to assert himself externally. And I think what's happened with China has been very significant. And we also know that the meeting between the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, and Mr. Trump apparently agreed the broad outlines of the strategy forward. And at the moment, I think both the Americans and the Chinese are hoping that this concerted pressure in the next few weeks can effectively bring the regime, despite its tough rhetoric, to its knees and to a point where it will have to accept the need to embrace a non-nuclear resolution.
Finally then, what would you like to see happen moving forward now to ease tensions in this situation?
Well, I would like the Trump administration not to engage in a war of words with the administration in Pyongyang, or the government in Pyongyang. I think I know it's tempting, but because he makes some outrageous, you know, the dictator makes some strong claims, and just in the last 24 hours, he said he may go for having weekly nuclear and missile tests, which is a real bravado statement. But I think it needs a cool head, and I think both the Chinese and the Americans must work together on this. So what I would like to see, obviously, and I think most people would like to see, because it's a very dangerous situation, is a situation where there is the means, a diplomatic initiative, whereby the leader of North Korea can feel that, and I personally don't think this is entirely possible, but I would like to see a diplomatic outcome. But I happen to think that may only occur if there's regime change in North Korea, but we will have to wait to see. But we're going through dangerous times here.
So do you think the Americans might conduct regime change in North Korea?
I don't think that's the first option. I think the first option would be for the regime in Pyongyang to desist from its threatening behavior, not least against South Korea and the United States and Japan, and essentially accept what the UN Security Council has been trying to get North Korea to accept, which is to forswear the development of nuclear weapons in the Korean Peninsula. There's little sign that this regime will do this, but as I say, given the fact that the Chinese are now beginning to cut off the life support system for the regime in Pyongyang, the options that the regime has are limited, and it's just a question how the regime will now respond. As I say, just to sum up, I think a measured approach by the Americans, measured but firm, along with the Chinese, might find a way out of this crisis, but it's going to be a delicate and difficult task.
Can anyone explain why the modern-day whales are so big?
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.